Good evening. This is the KCPR News Summary for Tuesday, March 12, 1974. And tonight's headlines, U.S. Senator urges national restoration of capital punishment. We'll have Rick Goulart's Oscar predictions, and Missy Pierce will look at the campus reaction to streaking after this important message.
I'm Gladys Knight. There are a few things you can rely on. The telephone company not forgetting to bill you, water freezing below 32 degrees Fahrenheit, and that this year nearly 250,000 children will be born with birth defects. You are able to change only the last of these facts. The March of Dimes supports research, public education, and medical service programs in an effort to prevent birth defects. Birth defects are forever unless you help. Please give to the March of Dimes.
Good evening. This is Melanie Kilcannon with the National News. Senator John McClellan today urged national restoration of capital punishment. The Arkansas Democrat is floor manager and chief Senate sponsor of an administration-backed measure to restore the death penalty for prescribed crimes. McClellan said the death penalty must be restored if the criminal justice system is to be able to combat the growing crime rate. But Senator Harold Hughes urged defeat of the bill. The Iowa Democrat contends it demeans human society without protecting it. The bill, whose constitutionality is being debated, would limit capital offenses to treason, espionage, and specific major crimes resulting in death. The Arab oil ministers are gathering in Tripoli for tomorrow's crucial conference to discuss the oil embargo against the United States. The Libyan news media, meanwhile, has stepped up attacks against the American government. And diplomats in Tripoli indicate that despite strong pressure by Egypt's President Anwar Sadat, the conference may decide to retain the oil ban, which started last October. In Cairo, Egypt's semi-official newspaper Al Aram indicates that Saudi Arabia, which is considered a key to lifting the embargo, favors resuming oil shipments to the U.S. The White House said today there is no direct link between U.S. peace efforts in the Middle East and a lifting of the Arab oil embargo. News Secretary Ronald Ziegler said President Nixon told Jordan's King Hussein today that the U.S. plans to continue its efforts to gain a military disengagement in the Middle East. But Ziegler said the administration is hopeful the embargo will be lifted. Hussein is in Washington primarily to seek additional U.S. military aid. The American Automobile Association said today that the arrival of new gasoline allocations seems to be improving the availability of fuel around the nation. But the AAA said that since February has fewer days than March, the new allocation formulas will leave many states with less gasoline per day than they had last month. And at the bottom of the news, the exiled Soviet writer Alexander Solzhenitsyn has chosen neutral Switzerland as his new home. In announcing the Nobel laureate's decision, the Swiss Justice Ministry said Solzhenitsyn expects his family to join him before the middle of next week. The ministry said Solzhenitsyn will make a formal request for political asylum. It said he plans to live in Zurich. That's the International for tonight, Dean.
Okay, in California headlines, municipal workers in San Francisco remain on strike for a sixth straight day, despite a Superior Court order that orders to halt the paralyzing walkout. Public transit remains idle, and untreated sewage still gushes into the bay in millions of gallons. Judge Clayton Horn issued the temporary restraining order today, along with a district order to police to arrest pickets if necessary. He ordered the city to take legal action to stop the strike. More on that strike. A federal judge has imposed a $10,000 fine against a striking San Francisco beer truck drivers union and a $2,000 fine against the Alameda Central Labor Council for contempt of court. U.S. District Court Judge Alfonso Ziproli levied the fines in San Francisco today. He found beer drivers and salesmen Local 888 and the council in civic complaint last November 7th for violating an injunction issued in September. And Lieutenant Governor Ed Reinecke says the oil companies deserve the gratitude of Americans, not their criticism. Reinecke says nobody froze to death this winter, as he put it, only because of excellent management on the part of the oil industry. And in Los Angeles, two mild earthquakes rumbled through downtown L.A. shortly after midnight, causing no reported damage yesterday. Seismologists in Pasadena report the first trembler hit at 12:33 and registered 3 points on the Richter scale. The second came 5 minutes later, registering at 2.5. A Los Angeles County Sheriff's deputy on duty downtown says he felt like he was in a boat. He describes the tremors as having a rolling motion. And this just in from Washington, a scientist told senators today that one terrorist with a supply of plutonium about the size of a softball could build a nuclear bomb small enough to be transported in a car. but acted Dr. Theodore Taylor, a nuclear scientist. He said it would be deadly enough to kill tens of thousands of people. Taylor used the example today in pleading for tighter government safeguards of fissionable materials, especially at the U.S. Level. Taylor said there's no evidence that plutonium has been stolen, although there have been unexplained disappearances of the material, which is essential for a nuclear explosion. Another physicist, Dr. Ralph Lapp, who was involved in the Manhattan Project for the development of the original atomic bomb, said some of Taylor's estimates are exaggerated. Lapp said if it's that simple to build a nuclear bomb, then the government should do something about it. We'll have local news with Pam Brown and Missy Pierce after this.
Stop for a moment and think about this. Even though the war is over in Vietnam, the suffering goes on. There are thousands of children, many of them crippled or burned or blind, who are innocent victims of the long war. They need food, medical care, and shelter and education. They need UNICEF. This is Carly Simon. Please, won't you send a check to UNICEF? New York, 10017. Thank you.
This is Pam Brown with the local news tonight. And what's to come at the beginning of next quarter should be encouraging to all of us who are concerned about our environment, and in particular, automobile pollution. April 3rd through 8th, there will be a car rally held. But it's a unique car rally entitled, and this is a long one, International Collegiate Reduced Emissions Devices Car Rally. Well, in shorter terms, the IC Red Rally is a student-organized competition designed to inspire research on low-pollution, energy-efficient vehicles and to publicize this type of work. Two broad categories of vehicles will compete, and they will be vehicles of all types and design and will allow many new ideas to be compared and evaluated. Different means of cleaning up standard gasoline cars will also be offered, and such fuels as alcohol, hydrogen, methane, along with gasoline entries will all be in the competition. Electric cars, nitrogen cars, steam cars, and hybrids of all sorts will be present, too. Each vehicle will be tested for emissions, fuel economy, performance, and reliability. Well, Poly has entered two entries this year, and the first is a propane-fueled 1963 Valiant. Students are rebuilding this car to include propane power, increased compression ratio, water injection, and capacity discharge ignition. Now, whatever all that means, but they know. Well, the second entry they have is rather unique. It's a 1966 Cadillac Fleetwood, and it uses fuel of what they call sewer gas. Composed mainly of natural gas, the fuel is obtained from the sewage treatment plant in Morro Bay. Now, during this six-day rally, the vehicles will either pass from Davis through San Francisco and Monterey to L.A. or compete entirely in the L.A. area. Now, the purpose of this rally is to give students worthwhile experience on technical problems of social importance, and the rally will both evaluate and publicize their work. The results will be presented in a summary report soon after the rally is completed. Well, it sounds like a real worthwhile project, and so to Alan Cohen, team captain, and the rest of his crew, we say the best of luck. Also from Santa Maria, Dr. Rollo May, New York-based psychoanalyst who has written many books on dealing with a variety of aspects of man's search for himself, will speak at 8 p.m. Thursday, March 21st, at the Allen Hancock College as part of the college's Art and Lecture Series. The Courage to Create is the subject of the lecture, which will be held in the Sports Pavilion. General admission is $2.50 for students and faculty, $1.50. Tickets may be purchased at the theater box office. Dr. Rollo May is a very greatly honored man. He's been awarded the Honorary Doctorate of Humane Letters by the University of Oklahoma, received the Ralph Waldo Emerson Award for his book Love and Will, and holds many honorary doctorates of law and many other distinguished awards. Again, that's Dr. Rollo May at Allen Hancock College in Santa Maria, Thursday, March 21st at 8 p.m. And from the news rush tonight, and believe me, that's exactly what it said, Newsrush. From Cuesta College, they report their first case of streaking just yesterday afternoon. The national college craze seems a bit late in appearing at Cuesta, but students and faculty members reported a single nude streaker making a dash across campus near the college cafeteria. And this wasn't at 12 o'clock midnight, but during high noon. John Swab, dean of students at Cuesta, said a male person was seen getting out of a parked car at a parking lot just adjacent to the cafeteria, making a mad streak in the direction opposite the lunchers gathered outside the cafeteria, and then he disappeared down a dirt road. Schwab said the streaker was nude, but wore a nylon stocking over his head. He said, however, that there were no other identifying features, and that the speaker, or not speaker, streaker, remains anonymous. Several witnesses said they thought the streaker was wearing shoes, but no one is absolutely positive. And Missy Pierce will now have more on streaking. Missy?
Thank you, Pam. The attitude of streaking has probably attracted more attention than any other event ever held at Poly. Due to the talk and participation that has taken place, the activity has really taken over. Of course, the activity of streaking is relatively new, but I asked some Poly co-eds what they thought about the new fad.
I think it's pretty cool, especially when John Holly's out there. 9 o'clock at night, saw him cruising through the Union. Had a helmet on, though, so nobody could tell who he was.
I think it should be more co-educational.
You mean more girls?
More girls.
That's right.
Oh. Why not? I'm for female... The feminist movement should get behind this thing. It should be a strictly a people liberation movement here.
How about you? What do you think about streaking?
Whoa. let's see. I don't... It doesn't bother me. I wouldn't do it, but it doesn't... Yeah.
Doesn't bother you?
It doesn't bother me, no. Everyone's doing it, so...
How come you wouldn't do it?
It's not my style. I'm not into that sort of thing.
I don't really know. I only saw three of them just the other day. And, I don't know. I think it's all right, I guess. You know, if it's what they want to do. I think it's kind of funny. I think it's really hilarious. But
Do you live in the dorms? Is that where you saw it?
Yeah, I live in Muir, but I went down to Sierra Madre one time to visit some friends. And me and my friend were walking down the road, and we saw about three dudes running around. It was kind of funny, though.
How come you didn't join them?
Well, I was stuck outside. I was walking outside, and I had my clothes on, so...
Wasn't in the mood, huh?
Wasn't in the mood, yeah.
I think it's kind of a fun thing for people who can do it. I know I couldn't. I was just thinking, reading about those girls and saying, boy, I don't know how a girl could do it, because I think we're brought up with a little bit more...
kind of boys, maybe.
Well... kind of not too inclined to do something like that.
I think it's, I don't know, really.
I think it's fantastic.
You like it then?
Yeah, well, they're talking about in the paper where there's nothing to do in San Luis, and this is just kind of a new thing. It just lets people do what they want to do.
I think it's out of sight. I think it's about time that something has happened to that extent at the school. This place is so uptight that... It's about time that somebody actually got loose enough to go out and have the guts to do it.
It doesn't bother me.
Do you like it? Think it's good?
Good for what?
I think it's great, but I don't think they should do it in cold weather. We'll get sick.
Well, it shows a lot of freedom, and everybody's just really spontaneously acting on impulse, you know, and it's a good release of all the tensions for, you know, finals and everything. It's far out.
I'd see a lot more of it. I'd like to see a record broken. Look, about 500, over 500 people doing it around college hour.
I mean, it happens, and it's fine. Would you do it?
No, I'm too gross.
Well, I think it's kind of funny at the same time. It's kind of dumb, you know, that people have to... resort to that, but you know, if they're having fun, you know, just let them have it. But I personally look at it kind of dumb.
I think it's just the students trying to find a diversion from all the other problems that are facing the world that they don't want to face up to.
Would you do it?
No.
It seems to me that the people are getting their heads out of the politics and back into just doing, you know, good, clean fun again, what they want to do. I think
I hope campus doesn't make them stop doing it, you know.
I think
people are going to get tired of doing it. And if the campus starts trying to put regulations and say, no, you can't do it, it's not hurting anybody.
So far, it's created no damages that I've seen, except for maybe I work in a grocery store and some of the older people that are in their late 50s and early 60s think the morality is a little low. But I think it's going along with the times. I think it's great.
What do you think about it?
I think it's an indication of an internal problem being with people trying to solve it with an external solution. You know, just like, you know, a man's not peaceful inside and he tries to solve it with dope, sex, money, and it just doesn't solve. His problem's on the inside. And that's exactly what it is. It's a beautiful indication of the state that man is in today. He's got an internal problem, and that's his heart.
That's great. It doesn't bother me unless someone runs by my window at 3 o'clock in the morning screaming. Then it bothers me.
I don't think there's anything bad about it. It's better than eating goldfish.
I think the guys are making fools out of themselves.
It's ridiculous.
I'd rather be
naked on the beach in the naked rain in front of a bunch of people.
I think it's a great way to rid yourself of your anxieties, your inhibitions, and your clothes all at the same time.
I think I'm pretty speechless.
I don't want to get involved.
Ask Randy.
I think it's good. What about it?
Oh, come on, Dennis. Come on,
Sex and perversion is great.
Love it. Well, in the old country, we used to do that. But we did it all at nighttime.
I think it's insane. I've never seen any. I think it's all made up. What do you think about it?
I like it.
Anything else? Have you
seen I wouldn't
him?
Do it.
Have you seen him? No. Well?
Let's get naked.
I think it's rather amusing, trite, and childish. But I think it's also very funny. I think it'll probably pass in a couple weeks.
The responses on a whole were in favor of the new activity. The new organization calls themselves the OCPS, Official Cal Poly Streakers. With us today are three members of the OCPS, and they are here tonight to straighten out any misconceptions people might have on streaking. Gentlemen, can you tell me a little bit about your club?
Well, it's not like the other clubs that are running around doing the streaking, because we planned it all out a few days ahead of time. And we're trying to get membership cards printed up right now. We're going to have photos, a rear view photos on the back and everything, signatures, mm-hmm. and the whole smear sealed in plastic. And we may have a membership drive. And then the people who are original will have, like, elite membership on the back of theirs.
I see. Do you expect very many participants in here?
Well, the people who know who we are keep coming up to us and saying, I'm with you on the next one, telling us that they're with us.
Where is the next one?
Well, I can't really tell you.
Okay, can you tell me just about some of your past streaking that you've done?
Okay, the original streak was at Trinity Hall. Mm-hmm. And we arranged for a key, and we got in. We went all the way to the third floor, knocking on doors, running through, with 11 of us, with our own photographers following behind, plus some girls were taking pictures of us inside. And then we dropped these papers that said that we were the official Cal Poly Streakers, and that had a picture of our, well, you could call it a uniform. It's a shirt that comes down about a quarter of the way that says official Cal Poly Streakers on the back. And everybody wears shoes, and we all carry quite a few of these papers and hand them to people, anybody we see. If not, we just drop them behind us. And they get picked up pretty fast.
About how big is your group now?
Right now, it's kind of hard to say because we're having a meeting tonight, and there's supposed to be a bunch of girls coming to the meeting that are maybe going to join. And I think we might be able to get it, by next quarter, we might be able to get it up to 50 people.
If anyone wanted to join in your organization, it's not publicized or anything, and how would we know how to get in contact with?
Well, right now it's word of mouth, trying to keep the same people we already know. So when we do make a streak, it's not like a party with security. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody's there. And some other dorms, I don't know how they think they could do it, but they tried to challenge us. And I don't know how they could challenge us, because there's nobody who can challenge us, or we can't challenge them. Mm-hmm. There's a group that came through our dorm
last night,
and they ran through our dorm, and they got locked into a girls' dorm, and they all panicked, started getting dressed halfway through, mm-hmm. and they didn't even know what they were doing.
So they
got lost.
They're not the official streakers, right?
Right.
On Monday's, yesterday's paper, there's a picture of streakers in there. On the front page. Is that your organization?
No, that's just one guy in the picture. That's just one guy, and they took a picture and, like, showed
him three times.
The same person, because you can notice it's all the same helmet, the same nose and everything.
I see. So this isn't a person out of your group.
Yes, no. I'd like to say something. I think he's one of those unorganized nudie guys from mm-hmm. one of the other groups.
So apparently there are a lot of other people that are doing streaking besides your group, right?
Trying to. But
they don't succeed like you.
It doesn't seem like they know what they're doing, because, like they told us, they got communicated to us, they're going to challenge us to a streak, and they're going to streak by someplace at midnight, and they can't even tell time. They came by at 5 after 11.
Mm.
And they didn't even know what they were doing.
Okay, I would like to know, how do we tell your group from any others? Can you give us, how do we know whether it's you or not?
We'll be wearing our official shirts.
And what's that?
And that's about all we'll be wearing.
plus our birthday suits.
Okay, then. Well, I guess we'll just have to wait and see if we recognize you.
Well, it'll be very obvious.
It'll be very obvious. Okay. Thank you very much for coming down.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll have more news after this. What kind of sound is that, you may ask? It's called swing.
Monday evenings, from 7 to 9 p.m., KCPR Fine Arts presents 2 hours of the finest in classical music. The evening edition is in response to numerous requests for classical music at night. Join your host, Rick Shaw, on Monday evenings from 7 to 9 p.m. for the evening edition of The Pacific Concert.
And now with KCPR Sports, Tony Diaz.
Bowie Kuhn said Monday he disapproves of the Atlanta Braves' plan not to start Hank Aaron in the season opening series at Cincinnati. He said he expects the veteran slugger, who is only one home run away from Babe Ruth's record, to be in the lineup on opening day. The Braves had announced that Aaron would not start any of the games in Cincinnati, but would be available as a pinch hitter. Aaron, questioned about Kuhn's statement, said, quote, "If the commissioner orders me to play, I guess I'll have to play, even if it means I have a hurt leg or I'm not in shape," end of quote. The final Associated Press college basketball poll came out today, and there was a shakeup in the top four teams of the nation. North Carolina State barely edged out UCLA for the number one position by a couple of votes. UCLA's impressive win over USC last Saturday by 30 points no doubt influenced the AP vote. Notre Dame, who dropped a game to Dayton last week, fell to the third position, and Maryland took over the fourth position. Long Beach State remained in the 11th position after its outstanding year. The 49ers only lost 2 games all season and would have given UCLA a tough battle if they hadn't been suspended from NCAA action for 3 years. In NBA action, the Golden State Warriors won an important 120-108 decision over the Detroit Pistons last night. The win puts the Warriors ahead of the Los Angeles Lakers by 1 game in the Pacific Division. The Lakers will try to catch the Warriors tonight as they face the New York Knicks at Madison Square Garden. The game can be seen on Channel 5 at 6 p.m. The big game every baseball fan has been talking about for the last couple of years is finally going to take place this Friday at 8 p.m. at Sinsheimer Stadium. The University of Southern California, winner of 4 straight NCAA University Baseball Championships, will make its first appearance in San Luis Obispo this Friday. Coach Rod Dato, the John Wooden of baseball, has guided USC to 8 of its 9 championships. The Trojans have gone to the NCAA Pacific Regional Tournament 16 times and qualified for the national tournament all but once. USC is led by a trio of outstanding football players off its Rose Bowl team. They include the great tailback Anthony Davis, who hit .346 last season as a center fielder, shortstop Marvin Cobb, a regular cornerback, and second baseman Rob Adolph, the backup quarterback to Pat Hayden. Admission is 75 cents for college students and $1.50 for adults. That's all the sports.
Okay, now with the entertainment scene, Rick Goulart.
Thank you, Dean. Last night we began a look into predicting some Oscar winners in about 2 weeks, the ceremonies in about 2 weeks. Tonight we're going to take a look at the acting, best acting and actress categories, and the screenplay. The nominees for the best adapted screenplay of the year are The Exorcist by William Peter Blatty, and the ceremonies boiled down to this year how well The Exorcist will do in the Oscar balloting. William Peter Blatty's script is very well known, so we won't go into any details of that script. The Last Detail, a script by Robert Towne, also got a nomination. It deals with a Navy guy who is caught stealing money from a polio research collection box and is ordered to prison. Along the way, he encounters Jack Nicholson and Otis Young. Randy Quaid is the guy who is caught with his hand in the polio box, and he learns a lot about life along the way to prison. The Paper Chase, written by James Bridges, also got nominated in the Best Adapted Screenplay. It dealt with Timothy Bottoms chasing a Harvard Law diploma and ends up throwing it away for the better things in life. Paper Moon by Alvin Sargent, dealing with two sentimental con artists who made money during the Depression by selling fake Bibles, starred Tatum O'Neill and Ryan O'Neill, and it was a very nicely written screenplay by Sargent. But the winner in the Best Adapted Screenplay, I think, will be Waldo Salt's and Norman Wexler's interpretation of Serpico. Waldo Salt won a Best Adapted Screenplay in 1969 for Midnight Cowboy. Serpico is a true story based on Frank Serpico's true story. He is a corrupt cop who tries to go straight within the system by exposing corruption. Best Original Screenplay nominees are Cries and Whispers by Ingmar Bergman, dealing with Liv Ullmann, who reminisces the past and her childhood, Save the Tiger, where we have Jack Lemmon and his frustrations as an American clothing businessman, The Sting, about two con men again who go after a few gangsters, and with a really nice surprise conclusion. A Touch of Class, an old-fashioned romantic comedy with a lot of plot twists that fall apart in the end, and the winner in the Best Original Screenplay category, American Graffiti, written by George Lucas, Gloria Katz, and Willard Huck. Graffiti, as you may well know, is a nostalgia look at the 1950s, capturing young people's uncertainty about leaving home. By one of Oscar's many strange coincidences, Barbara Streisand and Joanne Woodward are competing with each other for Best Actress of the Year once again. The last time they did this, Streisand won for Funny Girl, tying with Katharine Hepburn for The Lion in Winter. Woodward was also in competition that year for Rachel, and many of her supporters might be looking for revenge this year. At any rate, the Best Actress and Best Actor category this year are the most difficult to predict a winner because each actress has her own attractive qualities and particular styles that you can't help but admire. The three major contenders seem to be Streisand for her political activist's first dramatic performance in The Way We Were, Ellen Burstyn in The Exorcist, and Joanne Woodward. Streisand is certainly the most beloved of the nominees, and her portrait of Katie in The Way We Were was undeniably one of her better moments. So look for another Streisand Oscar next month. I, for one, would like to see Joanne Woodward get it. Despite Jack Lemmon's stiff competition for the Best Actor category, he will run away with the Oscar again this year. His performance in Save the Tiger was not only a remarkable feat of acting, but he has reached a point in his career where he is highly respected by his fellow peers. So we have Best Actor, Jack Lemmon, Best Actress, Barbara Streisand, Best Original Screenplay, American Graffiti, and Best Adapted Screenplay, Serpico. Tomorrow night, we'll take a look at the Best Director and Picture of the Year and a look at the Oscar ceremonies itself with a couple of surprises in store. That's it, Dean.
Thank you, Rick. On this note, tonight, following the 6 o'clock news, KCPR will present a special rebroadcast of Patrick J. Frawley's speech, Inventions Are Based on Research, which was given today at 11 a.m. in the Cal Poly Theater. Besides discussing the speech topic, Frawley includes his solutions for the cure of chronic alcoholism. Frawley is the chairman of the board for Schick Incorporated and the founder of the Papermate Pin Company. So we will have Patrick J. Frawley following the news tonight. And we'll have Uncle Al in the weather after this.
What kind of sound is that, you may ask? It's called swing, and it's the subject of a weekly show here on KCPR. Friday evenings at 7, you're invited to join us for a brief journey to 30 years ago, when names like Artie Shaw, Benny Goodman, and Tommy Dorsey were as well known as John Lennon, Paul Simon, and Mick Jagger. The name of the show is The Big Bands and All That Jazz. And it doesn't limit itself to just the golden swing era, but takes in the current big band sound as well. I'm Bruce Allman, and I'll be one of your hosts on Friday evenings at 7.
It's now time for Uncle Al's Corner.
Flash, this is Uncle Al with two stories about streakers. A Hong Kong streaker has given the fad a new twist. He did it on water skis. Towed by a speedboat, he weaved in and out a boat's moored off of Luma Island to the cheers of astonished spectators on a Sunday outing. He was Hong Kong's second streaker. And some more stories. At O'Hare International Airport in Chicago, a laughing policeman chased a man dressed only in shoes, socks, and an army cap. passengers in the terminal booed the policeman before the streaker disappeared into the locker room. A streaker wearing combat boots and a gas mask trotted by the National Guard's headquarters at Kalamazoo, Michigan, in 36-degree weather. I better stop reading these stories about streaking because I'm running out of time.
That's all, folks.
Yeah, it's groovy.
And now the weather mono.
Thanks a lot, Dean. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Cal Poly, this is the weather mono with the weather news on a Tuesday wrap-up for the news. Well, I think we're running out of time, so here it's going to be like in San Luis. Tomorrow's forecast shows more possibility of rain in the early mornings, as well as later on tonight, but it'll probably be gone by tomorrow afternoon or at most tomorrow evening. Today's high was a 60, mostly fair with the temperature tomorrow in the 60s under fair skies. In San Francisco today, the weather was showery with 57 degrees, clearing up by tonight, only being partly cloudy tomorrow. Chance of rain tonight, 50%, tomorrow 30%, with the temperatures in the upper 50s tomorrow also. In Santa Barbara, the high was a 63, cloudy and rainy, and a bit of wind in the afternoons. Los Angeles had variable high cloudiness, but mostly sunny today with a high of 65. Expect the same type of weather tomorrow, sunny skies with an occasional patchy fog and clouds in the morning around the coastal areas and the temperatures in the 60s. And at the beaches, 25 to 30-foot waves. Sorry, those are in Hawaii. Here we have the usual 1 to 3-foot westerly swells, some good glassy jazz in the morning with wind waves in the afternoon of up to 3 foot in fair condition. And Dean, that's all there is.
Okay, this has been the KCPR News Service for Tuesday, March 12, 1974. The news is engineered by Audio Al Bazaar. I'm Dean Opperman. Stay tuned for today's speech by Patrick J. Frawley. Inventions are based on research. Next on Public Radio from the University, KCPR, San Luis Obispo.
Welcome to another event in the University Convocation Series. I'm sorry that we don't have a larger audience today. I think it's possibly due to the fact that final examinations start this week in a day or two, and I think that we may have some serious scholars who are busy trying to learn in a couple of days what they should have learned in 12 weeks. On several occasions, when I have had the opportunity to enjoy the convocation series, I've been a member of the audience, and our executive vice president, Dr. Dale Andrews, has presided at these meetings because he was acting both in my place and also as chairman of